Please turn with me now to Psalm 41 in your Bibles. Read this on page 595 using your Pew Bible. So give attention now as we read Psalm 41. To the choir master, a psalm of David. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? And when one comes to see me, he utters empty words, while his heart gathers iniquity. And he goes out, he tells it abroad. All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me, and raise me up that I may repay them. By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout and triumph over me. But you have upheld me because of my integrity, and set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. So in the reading of God's word, let us once again bow in prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this psalm. We pray that as we look at these verses, that you, Lord, would guide our hearts and minds to you. And may you, Father, instruct us in your truth. And may you, Lord, bless my mind and my mouth, that I may think and speak clearly this evening. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Well, we've come to the end of book one in the psalm. The Psalter is divided into five books. And here, Psalm 41 is the end of book one. And just to give you a little preview, in a couple of weeks, Lord willing, we're going to take a break from the Psalms. It would be a good stopping point. And we're going to, Lord willing, start the book of Jonah in a couple of weeks. So that's something to look forward to and mark on your calendars. But tonight we're looking at Psalm 41, and this being the final psalm of this first book. As we look at these verses, this I think is a fitting end for this first book. It's a psalm of praise, rejoicing, and ultimately the victory that we have in Jesus. And so as we look at this psalm, we'll be looking at it with the theme, Blessed be the Lord our God who gave us victory in Jesus. So blessed be the Lord our God who gave us victory in Jesus. This psalm divides nicely into three parts. The first part, verses 1 to 3, God has sustained him who gave attention to the poor. Secondly, verses 4 to 9, his enemies were united and once trusted. And lastly, verses 10 to 13, blessed be the Lord who established him. So first of all, God has sustained him who gave attention to the poor. As we read this psalm in the opening verses, it begins, Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. And this word translated in the opening line of poor, it could be translated low or weak. It brings to mind that those that consider the poor in a certain way really picture what God has done for us. When we consider the poor, when we help someone in need, what we're really doing is we're following in the footsteps of our Father who ultimately has helped us who are poor. And not poor in necessarily a monetary way or a physical way. As we consider Matthew 5:3, the Beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we consider that together, what we see here is as the Lord has, you know, when we help the poor, as I mentioned, what we're doing is we're following the footsteps of God, who has ultimately helped us who are poor in spirit. Those of us who acknowledge and humbly come before Him seeking forgiveness. So as we consider the blessed are the poor in spirit, when we consider the one who has considered the poor in this light, I believe this psalm is ultimately speaking of Jesus and pointing to Him. He is the one who has considered the poor. And so also as we look at these opening verses, verses 1 to 3, are really kind of a summary of the whole psalm that then the verses following will kind of expand out. We've seen that before in other psalms. And David is following that pattern here. These first three verses kind of give us a little synopsis of the whole psalm that then he then develops later. The verse 3, though, as we consider how this relates to Christ and how this pictures Him, the phrase, "The Lord sustains him on his sickbed, in his illness you restore him to full health." Literally, that last phrase there could be translated, "The whole of his couch you overturn in his sickness." And I think that's a nice way that the ESV tried. That doesn't really make sense in our English language, but the ESV has done it nicely and given the idea of here a sense of restoration. That's the idea here. It's a picture of restoration. And Christ there being pictured as he lay in the grave for 3 days, being resurrected and restored. And so these opening verses give us really a nutshell of what's to come in the rest of the psalm. So as we continue to move through this psalm in this second section, verses 4 through 9, we read, "As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me, heal me, for I have sinned against you. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? And when one comes to see me, he utters empty words while his heart gathers iniquity. When he goes out, he tells it abroad." And it continues on then through verse 9. And really, as we come to verse 9 here, this verse really kind of removes all doubt that this psalm, in my mind, that this psalm is speaking of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ quotes this psalm as what was happening to him as he was being betrayed. In John 13:18, when he says, "I am not speaking of all of you, I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled, he who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me." And so Jesus, and speaking of his betrayal and the betrayal of Judas, who ate his bread, lifting his heel against him, references this psalm and places this psalm in that context. The life of Jesus in this particular psalm. And other ways that we could see this section, which speaks about the enemies of Jesus Christ here in his earthly ministry. First of all, when he says, "My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? And one comes to see me, he utters empty words while his heart gathers iniquity. When he goes out, he tells it abroad. All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me." And then there's an explanation in verse 8. They say, "A deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies." You can easily picture here, and as we have accounted for us in the Gospels, about Christ's passion and his humiliation, how people were saying to him, especially on the cross, the things like, you know, he could heal other people, let him heal himself, or if you are the Christ, Jesus, you know, come down. Basically, the sayings here are kind of fit nicely in that of the type of humiliation that he was enduring, the scoffing, the deriding that those around him, wishing him to die, the language here of when one comes to see me, he utters empty words. There we can picture the scenes in the Gospels when Jesus is teaching, and we have the scribes and the Pharisees that come in, and they ask him questions, But they're pretending to be sincere in what they're asking, but we know from the gospel authors that what their ulterior motives are is that they're trying to find some fault with Jesus. They're trying to find some error, some way that they can ensnare him and bring him to ruin. And that's the idea here that is portrayed in verse 6. When one comes to see me, he utters empty words, just vain, you know, flattery, you might think of it. While in his heart, he's gathering iniquity. In his heart, it's a picture of he's listening in, he's trying to gather some type of fault, some type of error. And then it talks about after he's gathered that, or tries to gather it, he then goes out and tries to spread it abroad. So maybe in David's personal life, there was some trusted advisor that would come in, and they were trying to glean some error in David's life, some sin, and then immediately went out and began spreading it and gossiping it in the neighborhood. Then in the life of Jesus, then, we have those scribes and those Pharisees as they came together asking him questions, pretending to be sincere. And then really what they're trying to do is try to gather some iniquity, if there was any iniquity in Jesus, which we know there doesn't. And just to make sure there's no heresy being proclaimed here. And then with the hope that they would gather that and then go out and spread it abroad and to bring the ministry of Jesus Christ to ruin. Now, as we considered, last week when Psalm 40 talked about the wickedness that was experienced by the psalmist in their own sin, here too we have reference to "Be gracious to me, heal me, for I have sinned against you." In verse 4, again, that just calling your attention to what I said last week about how our union with Christ is really so, we are so united to Christ, and when he was on the cross, he truly bore our sins. And so Christ himself could utter these words as our sins became sin. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, as the scriptures say. And so then, as we consider these verses here, what we see is the picture and the prophecy of the coming humiliation and the suffering of the Son of David, of the Christ, the Anointed One that was to come, how the humiliation that he endured. And what we can learn here and take from this, knowing that, this psalm prophesies it, it's prophesied in this psalm, it's prophesied in, clearly in Psalm 22 and in other scriptures, that, the suffering of Jesus Christ, was not by accident. It wasn't some haphazard thing that just came along and without God's foreknowledge and plan, but happened according to the very plan of God. It was the way that it was supposed to happen to accomplish our salvation. And this brings us then to this final section of the psalm. As we consider, they say, or here in verse 10, "But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them. By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout and triumph over me. But you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." What we have here in these verses is the delivery that was spoken of earlier in the psalm. As David wrote, "The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health." And we have that played out here in these four verses. Now, first of all, beginning in verses 10 to 11, we see this in the life of Christ, in his resurrection, in his ascension, and ultimately his glorification. He says, "But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them." That picture there, Christ being resurrected, ascending, and being placed upon his throne, where he is now bringing his enemies and subduing them under his feet, those who would deride him and slay him, he is bringing under his feet. In verse 11 also, we see this picture, "By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me." The resurrection of Jesus Christ, his ascension and glorification, is that clear picture that we have and proclamation that the Father was well pleased with what His Son had done. He didn't remain in the grave, but accomplished all that was set before Him. So He raised from the grave, ascended on high, and was seated at the right hand of God the Father. His very truly, this was fulfilled in Christ, that His enemies will not shout and triumph over Him. Sure, at the crucifixion, it looked like His enemies had won. But thankfully, and praise God that it didn't end there. He defeated His enemies. He defeated Satan. He defeated death. He defeated sin. And He is currently now bringing those enemies more and more under His feet. That leads us then to verse 12. For You have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in Your presence forever. Speaking of the, again, of the ascension and glorification of Jesus. It was because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, all that He did and fulfilled that the Father had sent Him to do, that the Lord upheld Him because of His integrity. And then, as we said, in His glorification, He was set upon that throne, the right hand of power, the right hand of God. And so in 13, as we consider then the little synopsis of what this psalm talks about in the first three verses, the enemies that were surrounding Him in the middle section, and the deliverance and the that Jesus experienced in His victory that He had over His enemies. Following response then is found in verse 13. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. This is the proper heart attitude and praise as we stop and we consider the work of Christ and what He has done for us and what God has done for us through Him and the grace and the mercy that has been shown us as we have professed faith in Jesus Christ. This is a fitting way to end this opening book that has dealt with times, ups, peaks and valleys, kind of the Christian life. Times where David was feeling or experiencing great turmoil, times where he was feeling great, the mountaintop experience in his walk with God. Here at the end, considering all that and considering what Christ has done, the people of God can cry out, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." This is the great work of God, and so we respond by saying, "Amen and amen." Truly, truly. Verily, verily, amen and amen. Where it's a wholehearted agreement that David is expressing here. And so, as we have looked at this psalm, as it brings this first book to a close, what we are comforted by and can take home with us is a wonderful truth that is expressed here of the final victory of Jesus Christ. He endured much humiliation. He endured much suffering. He was mocked, He was beaten, but by God's grace, His Father did not allow His enemies to reign over Him. He broke free, He triumphed over them, He had victory, and He is now bringing His enemies under His feet, and we are so united with Him that, again, I'm going to reference Ephesians 2, that Paul says that we are seated with Him in the heavenly places. Even though we're here now, we are seated with Him in the heavenly places. That is how sure a victory is. And although we may experience hardship here and struggle with various sins or temptations here, we know that Christ has won us our victory. And our victory doesn't lie in us, but it lies in Christ in the work that He has done. And so we can cry out with the psalmist here, "Blessed be the Lord our God, who is from everlasting to everlasting, because of the victory that Jesus Christ has won for us." Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that You would take this truth and really apply it to our hearts. May we, Lord, know and experience the great joy that comes from dwelling upon and meditating upon the great victory that we have been given in Jesus Christ, the victory that is displayed here in this psalm. Although He was faced great humiliation, great scoffing, His enemies wished Him dead, wished to see the end of His days, and they cried out to Him to save Himself, and they would believe. But Lord, we know that He had to endure the cross. He had to endure Your wrath so that we, Lord, could be counted as Your children by faith in Him. And so, Lord, we praise you that he did not remain in the grave, but you, Lord, did not allow his enemies to rejoice over him. You gave him complete and total victory. And we praise you, Father, that we have victory in Jesus Christ. And it is in this great name that we pray. Amen.